Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 27 for the scripture reading. And as you are turning, I bring greetings to you from your brothers and sisters in Port Angeles. We are thankful for you. I am appreciative of our relationship with you and of the care and oversight that your elders provide to us as well as to you as a congregation. And so I'm thankful for Pastor Van Coten's ministry in Port Angeles this morning, even as I'm thankful for the opportunity to be with you here this morning as well. It is our privilege to look together now to the Word of the Lord as we turn to Psalm 27, a psalm of David. Let us give our full attention to the reading of God's holy and infallible word. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh and my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and to the preaching of his holy word. As we have read Psalm 27, it resonates within us, for it is God's word, and it is designed to apply to our lives, regardless of the particulars of our situation and circumstances, as they may differ from individual to individual. For this is a psalm of lament, a psalm that captures the nature of our pilgrimage in this world. For we are pilgrims. We understand that our identity is with another place, that we are a people who are passing through this world. And as such, we know firsthand the struggles and the challenges that face us day after day, as we seek to live our lives here in this world, a world that at times appears to be very dark, and a world where we feel vulnerable, and where we sense that our place and our position here is precarious. It is temporary. It is prone to passing away, even in a moment. Yes, because of the nature of our pilgrimage, we are then tempted to be overcome by fears of various kinds. And those fears are expressed here in this psalm by David as he cries out to God, especially in verses 7 through 14, the latter portion of this psalm. He expresses here a fear of being abandoned, a fear of loneliness, of being forsaken by friends and family and even by God. There is here a fear of being swallowed up by enemies who oppose us, being overcome by failure or defeat. There is a fear of wandering as a pilgrim in an aimless manner, without a sense of purpose or direction, not knowing at times which way to turn and where to go. How to solve those difficulties or problems which confront us on a regular basis. And here the psalmist speaks of enemies in particular, which again have a way of capturing the various kinds of enemies that we may face in our own lives, sometimes in the form of hatred or hostility by human opponents in our workplace or in our home. But there are also those inward opponents and enemies, the temptations that we face, the struggle that we find even within our own hearts as we seek to overcome that remaining corruption of sin which indwells us. Yes, we know with the psalmist, because of all of these things, that our pilgrimage at times can be dark and we sense our vulnerability. But it is precisely these needs which the psalmist addresses as God's word is set before us this morning. For he tells us of the deliverance that God has provided for us. He tells us of the needs that will be met by God himself. That all of those answers that the people of this world are seeking after, is there a purpose in life? Is this all that there is, this temporary pilgrimage in this world? Is there any hope of being delivered from the wickedness of my own heart, of finding refuge from those enemies within and without? And the psalmist tells us that yes, there is a true solution for those who have ears to hear. There is a real salvation for those who will look to the Lord and who will look to Him in faith, like David and like us who are called as God's people to turn away from ourselves, to cast our eyes not upon the particulars of our circumstance, to seek a solution not from within, but from without, as we turn our gaze to the God whom the psalmist tells us is our light and our stronghold. God is light in the darkness. God is that place of safety for those who sense their vulnerability. And we see how these themes are developed in a wonderful way in this psalm. Looking first at verses 1 through 3, notice the two images of the light and the stronghold. They come to the forefront. In verse 1, they are linked to God Himself. He is the source of light. He is that place of safety. And those images then, one after the other, are intensified in verses 2 and 3. In verse 2, we find the light as by implication. What is described here is the danger that one will encounter in the darkness. Those evildoers who swarm around in the cover of the night like wild beasts, seeking to creep up upon their prey, to eat up that one like a victim, to swallow them, to devour them. The matter of life and death is set before us here. And yet, the psalmist declares that his trust is in the Lord. And therefore, he is confident in the darkness. He is unafraid, for the darkness and the night will be transformed from a place of threatening to a place of safety. For he says that it is the enemy who will stumble and fall in the darkness, that he has a source of light. He has a lamp for his feet. His path will be secure. And in verse 3, it is now that image of the stronghold which comes to the forefront. For the situation now is not of a man in the night surrounded by beasts, but rather the solitary individual soldier who is outnumbered by an army. And here in this place of vulnerability, he finds himself completely defenseless. But once again, he exclaims that though war arises against him, yet will he be confident. It is God who is that place of refuge. It is God who will be his defense. It is God who is unfailing in his care and in his protection over his child. Notice that in each of these verses, what comes to the forefront in the image of the light and in the dark and in the stronghold is the fact that God reveals himself to be a God who is trustworthy. The psalmist's confidence is not because of his own abilities. It is not because the circumstance or the situation changes. It is not because of anything found in him or even in this earth. But rather, these occasions for fear have been transformed into occasions of finding who his God is. That he is a God who is trustworthy, who is faithful, who is powerful, and who is good and kind and merciful to his own. For those who will look to him and trust in him, he will be their light in the darkness. He will be their stronghold in their time of need. And so we are being drawn with the psalmist in these verses to trust in God, but not only for what he does, not only because he is able to deliver us and to rescue us from a situation that is unpleasant or that is fearful, but rather it is because of who he is. And notice that in verses 4 through 6 now, we make that transition from what God has done for us in his deliverance to who God is as he takes us unto himself. We find expressed here, yes, a confidence as was manifested in the first three verses, but something more. What comes out is a longing for the full enjoyment of communion with God himself. The psalmist is no longer someone camping out at night, or a soldier surrounded by the enemy army, but now he has become like a priest in the sanctuary of God. And what is it that he desires above everything else? One thing have I asked of the Lord, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Here it is the heart of the psalmist, the heart of a true believer, that comes to expression in these words. That his longing is not simply to be delivered from the precarious situation in which he finds himself as a pilgrim and stranger in this world, but positively, his greatest longing is to dwell in God's house, to bask in the light of God's presence, to know the one who has delivered him, and to enjoy full communion with him. Notice that he does not ever want to leave. His wish would be to remain in that house all the days of his life, that he might find there a refuge from his pilgrimage, to find that final resting place for which his soul has been longing, to know that place of safety where there no longer is any threat of enemy from without. Yes, here we find the very heartbeat, you see, of what it means to put your trust in the Lord, to inquire in His temple. It is all about the Lord Himself. It is thoroughly God-centered as it points us to the nature of God-honoring worship, that it's not about us. It's not about ultimately our needs being met, but rather our needs are met in order that we might know God and that we might commune with Him. And it is in that communion that we find the deepest longings of our souls being satisfied. For remember that in the tent, in the tabernacle where the psalmist here finds himself, it is there that we find in the Old Covenant the greatest manifestation of the light of the Lord. As His glory filled the innermost Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant dwelt, so bright and shining was the purity of that light that no man could bear to dwell there. Only the high priest could enter for a time, but he could not remain, for that entrance was found only by way of the sacrifice, the shedding of blood for the remission of sins. Here, God has been pleased to dwell with His people in the tent of meeting, in the tabernacle. And it is there that the psalmist knows where the light of the glory of the Lord is found. It is there that one will ultimately find safety, will find a stronghold that cannot be assailed by the strength or the power of the things of this world. And it is here that the psalmist desires to remain. For here is a place of joy. Here is a place where the sadness and the sorrow has departed, and where there is making of melody, where there is songs of joy, where there is celebration. Do you see it there in verse 6? The psalmist finds himself as upon a high rock, a place of security, a place of permanence. There he says, my head shall be lifted up above all my enemies. It's as if victory day has arrived. The war is over. The celebration has begun. Songs of joy and melody in the house of the Lord forevermore. Do you see that these first six verses have their way by the inspiration of the Spirit of capturing the entirety of our existence as believers? That we are pilgrims who are assailed by the darkness, by the enemies around, and yet we have a refuge and we have a source of light in the Lord Himself. And when we get to verse 6, it's as if we've reached the end of the journey, that day of the Lord, when everything is made right. The journey is over. The rest has been reached. The celebration has begun. No longer any of the hindrances that we find in our pilgrimage, those hindrances which may keep us from the full enjoyment of communion with God in His presence. It is these verses which speak to us of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 27, written in that Old Testament context by King David, anticipates the arrival of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who comes into this world and who tells us in the Gospel of John that in fact He is the light of the world, that He is God come in the flesh, that He is the God who is light itself, and in Him there is no darkness at all, no sin, no impurity, nothing to block or to hinder the light of God's glory as we see it reflected in the person of Jesus Christ, the one who is beautiful beyond compare, who is full of grace and glory. As the Apostle John tells us in that first chapter of his gospel, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. These verses tell us who Jesus is, but they also point to what He came to do, that He is the one alone who is able to chase away the darkness of our pilgrimage, who is able to overcome the darkness of our own sinful condition, for He came to bring the light of salvation and to shine upon those who, like us, who are unable to escape from that darkness, who cannot overcome the sinfulness of our hearts, who have no power against those enemies from within and from without. But it is the Lord Jesus Christ who faced the darkness for us and who did overcome, but He did so by way of the paradox of the cross. For the one who was made weak even unto death and who gave Himself as a sacrifice upon the cross is the one who through His death came forth to be the stronghold for those who would take refuge in Him. It is the Lord Jesus who died for you and shed His blood that you might be forgiven, who has become the rock of your salvation, who in His resurrection has become a place of safety, and who is the one who enables you to say with the psalmist so long ago that your one desire and longing is to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to bask in His presence. For Jesus Christ has become, for those who have looked to Him in faith, the source of light and life, has become the defender and guardian, the sustainer and provider for all who would look to Him. And what about that verse 6 that points ahead Does it not also tell us on this side of the cross that we have a hope that is sure? That the one who has come already as the light of the world has not left us in the darkness. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He has given to us the outpouring of His Spirit to guide us upon our way, and He will come again. And on that day, it will be a day where every eye will see the brilliance and the glory of the light of the kingdom of heaven in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when He appears, we are told that He will take all those who have put their trust in Him to that place where God Himself dwells, in that innermost sanctuary where the throne of God sits, where there is no longer any need for a lamp or for a light of the sun or moon. For the Lamb Himself, we are told, is the light of that place. As we read at the end of Revelation 21, once again, the Apostle John, who told us in his gospel of the light of the world, tells us the end of the story, the end of the pilgrimage for those who are trusting in this one. And he writes, "I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Here set before us is the new creation, filled with the glory of the Lamb of God. Here is a place of complete safety and security, for God is there. Here is a place of perfect fellowship with God Himself, and with all those who are redeemed, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And do you know what the best part of all is? We will never, ever have to leave that place. What about the last half of Psalm 27? We are jolted when we make the transition from verse 6 to verse 7. Jolted back to the realities of our life in this world. "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me." Remember, it was in the latter portion of this psalm that we have expressed by the psalmist those experiences and emotions and struggles that we all relate to as we go about our life in this world, subject to the doubts and the fears of this place. And thus, this psalm has at times been labeled the backward psalm or the upside down psalm. Because in the typical psalm of lament, such as Psalm 13 or Psalm 22, you may want to check them out later. The typical pattern of the lament is that the psalm begins with that cry, "Oh God, help me. Oh God, be gracious to me. Oh Lord, deliver me. Help me, I'm in this situation." And we find by the end of the psalm that he has received his answer. He has been consoled. He has been comforted. He has been helped. And he offers his thanksgiving to God. But in Psalm 27, We have the confident trust at the beginning. We have the assurance of God's presence and deliverance at the start. And it ends with the cry for help. In the typical pattern, we may somehow misunderstand and believe that the psalmist is some kind of strong spiritual figure who, as a super Christian, endures and toughs it out through his struggles until he finds relief at the end. But that is not the case at all. It is rather that these psalms so clearly anticipate the pattern of redemptive history, that as God's people in this world are looking to God, especially within the context of the Old Covenant, they teach us that God is faithful to provide that deliverance. But Psalm 27 stands out within the Old Testament as something which so perfectly illustrates our existence as New Covenant believers. As it teaches us the already and the not yet of our present journey as pilgrims in this world. Do you see it in this psalm? That when we get to verses 7 and following, we do not leave behind the truth stated in verses 1 through 6, but rather the pilgrimage is informed by, is guided by, is impacted by what we find in the first half of this psalm. That we are being taught as strangers and aliens in this world, in verses 7 and following, the importance of prayer, the importance of walking by faith and not by sight, of recognizing that we journey through this world as those who already have received the deliverance expressed in verses 1 through 6. That because our Savior has completed His work and that He is the light of the world, who has faced the darkness in our place, who has triumphed over sin and death and hell in His resurrection, we journey not as those who are without hope, but as those who constantly know that our Savior is the Good Shepherd who travels with us. That as the psalmist cries out, "O God, do not forsake me. Do not turn away your face from me, but be with me to deliver me, to comfort me, to guide me. Teach me your way. Give me your word." In these words, we are reminded that because of Christ, God does hear our prayers. He is never far away. That our experience and our emotions are not always the best guides to the reality of our lives in this world. For we do walk by faith and not by sight, and we rely upon the truth expressed so well in verses 1 through 6 that already we belong to the Lord. Already He is our light and our stronghold, and the light of His word and the defense of His power by the working of the Spirit is at work in our lives. Through all of our struggles, through all of our times of doubting and fear, we may know that God is with us and that He will be gracious to us, and that one day we will see our Savior face to face. Do you see verses 13 and 14? How this psalm ends? Capturing for us our hope in that coming day. Is this your trust this morning? That in Jesus Christ, the light of the world, that you will in his light look upon the land of the living, that you will enter into the realm of his glorious kingdom and behold the beauty and the glory of your Savior face to face at the end of the journey. Yes, verse 14 echoes the beginning of the song. The Lord, who is our light, is also the stronghold of our life. In Jesus Christ, then, I leave you with that final exhortation. As pilgrims, as strangers, wait for the Lord. Be strong in the strength of Jesus Christ. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, we confess that we are a people who are weak, without any real defense or source of light in and of ourselves. For we were born in sin, and we naturally ran to the darkness, even to hide from you. But we are here today because you, O God, are the light of the world, and the Lord Jesus has become our stronghold and the rock of our salvation. And we praise you that in him the greatest longings of our souls are satisfied, and the cries of our heart are answered. For you, O God, have taken us out of the precarious place of our pilgrimage to make us your children, who will dwell in your presence both now and forevermore, and that because of the grace and mercy that we have found in Jesus Christ, our hiding place. And so we pray that your word, by your Spirit, would minister to us this day, regardless of the particulars of our own struggles, our situations, our circumstances, the enemies that we may name in our own minds and hearts this day. You, O God, are the source of deliverance from them all. You are the true remedy for our situation, for our sinful condition. For you, O God, have become our light and our salvation, the stronghold of our life. May you fill us with hope and fill us with joy in your presence this day, even as we long for and anticipate with great eagerness that coming day when we will be in your temple, in your presence, forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.